With life, you take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of 1 John. We'll begin with chapter 4 in 1 John, in verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. The subject I'm speaking on, I hope, accomplishes two things. One, it brings to all of us a sense of urgency. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you need to do it now. If you know you're lost and need to come to the Lord for salvation, you need to care for that now. It's later than any of us thinks it happens to be. And in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So I'm praying for this urgency to grip all of us, not only individually, but in families, in our homes, and in our church. The second thing I hope to accomplish by this, God directing us, is understanding. For me, and the life I've been privileged to live, and the half century I've been in the ministry, more than a half century now, I need an understanding, because it's nearly impossible for me to imagine what's going on in our world. Why people are behaving the way they're behaving. Why people seem to be without reason, yet thinking they're the most reasonable people, that their way is the only way. When we are teaching, and we're heavily involved in teaching and education, we have a body of knowledge, we say a body of truth, we try to transfer from one person to another. And we're very conscious of the fact that that body of truth needs to be exactly that, a body of truth. And on that truth we can build and live and do the things God's given us to do. And people who embody that truth must have the skills guided by God to teach it and impart it to the next generation or to those who are listening. We understand that God has designed us so that we can reason. He says to us, come, let us reason together. He has built us, if you would, created us with the capacity to learn and to move from point A to point B, to be motivated by the right thing. Well, now we seem to have a fast-developing educational system in our universities and colleges across the land and around the world, not concerned about imparting truth in some body that is treasured from one generation to the next, but some imaginary philosophy that they think is the answer to all things, which is nothing really new. It's as old as the Garden of Eden when Satan came to lie to Adam and Eve. But the propaganda machine in operation is showing its sad results in every area of our lives. All the way from the schoolroom to the college classroom to the graduate school to the Congress of the United States and all places in between. Is there something going on behind all of this? Is a stage truly being set for some event, some world change? The answer to that for me is yes. And there are lots of willing workers, blind but willing, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. But they're busy working at it. And so I think it's perfectly okay to ask the question, is the Antichrist among us now? Is the Antichrist among us now? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, begin with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think it's so appropriate for God, of course it is, God does only that which is appropriate and wise, but I think it's so appropriate that God places in the context of the Antichrist and all that means this thought that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because you could live a frightened life if you're not faithful and prayerful. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I say that especially for some young mothers who are rearing their children with all the things they hear are happening and are going to happen. I want to remind you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and that the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you look with me also at what the Bible says in 1 John, in the second chapter of 1 John, one verse, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want you to write down that word Antichrist, or mark the word Antichrist. It means exactly what it says, Antichrist, against Christ. It could mean also instead of Christ. Much damage is done, not coming out with some forthrightness against God and against his Christ, but delivering something that is instead of Christ, Antichrist. This word can also be used for anyone or anything that embodies what is against Christ or what is instead of Christ. You may say of someone's teaching, that is Antichrist. It could also mean of someone's spirit promoting and living something that is against God instead of Christ. You could say that is Antichrist. But of course it also means that there will appear a person on this earth empowered by the devil with amazing potential who shall become a world leader in many areas we'll talk about in just a moment, whom the Bible refers to as the Antichrist. I believe Scripture teaches that he will not make his full appearance known until the church is gone. That's my understanding of the Scripture. But I want to warn you that there are many good Christian people who have studied the Word of God diligently who believe that it could be different from that. I have come to call myself a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial believer in the second coming of Christ or in the Lord Jesus. I believe he's coming and his church is going to be removed before the tribulation, because God tells us that we're not going to taste of that wrath. And I believe that before the Lord reigns 1,000 years upon the earth, he's coming for his own. And when he comes for his own and catches us up out of this world, the tribulation will begin for 7 years, something like the world has never known since or after. But especially the last 3.5 years will be the great tribulation, when this Antichrist has made himself known in the beginning of that 7-year period, and has the applause of the world, the following of people worldwide. But then 3.5 years, or 42 months after he begins, is a great change. And the great tribulation begins. Now, if we know that certain things are going to happen at the Lord's coming, and we know immediately after his coming, the Antichrist is going to make himself known. The question is simple, and I think direct and altogether appropriate. Is the Antichrist already among us? If the Lord came for his own and he could come at any moment, there's nothing prophetically that has to take place for the Lord to call us out of this world at his coming for his own. 7 years later, he'll be coming with his own. We usually say that's between the rapture and the revelation of Christ. When he comes 7 years later after the rapture, what has gone on earth, the tribulation and the great tribulation, what has gone on earth will be concluded with the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon this unbelieving world. The battle or battles of Armageddon will be fought. They'll be led by the devil and his force, the Antichrist. They will be defeated, and the Lord will set up his throne upon this earth. And he will reign 1,000 years if we take the Bible literally for what the Bible tells us in the prophetic pages of Scripture, and I'm one of those who takes it that way. Every man has a will, a conscience, and a response to God. Every one of us can choose what he believes and who he believes, but I want you to know what I've studied for 50 years, and this is what I've come to believe, more than 50 years now, to be the truth. But is the Antichrist among us? Is he already on the earth? Is he among us? That's why I say, just to give the thought to this, most people have to imagine that some technology advancement has been made so that he can accomplish what the Bible says he's going to accomplish. But our eyes should not be on the technology or people standing in line to get a number, a computer code or piece in their hand, and they are. But our eyes should always be upon the Lord Jesus and what he's taught. While it's true that many of these things make us think this way, they make us think that the coming of the Lord is not only sure, that it is soon. I brought with me a list of, compiled by a Bible teacher, about things throughout the Bible that the Antichrist is called, different names in different places in Scripture. I will just read them to you. I can make this available online. The bloody and deceitful man, Psalm 5, verse 6. The wicked one, Psalm 10, verse 2 through 4. The man of the earth, Psalm 10, verse 18. The mighty man, Psalm 52, verse 1. The enemy, Psalm 55, verse 3. The adversary, Psalm 74, verses 8 through 10. The head of many countries, Psalm 111, verse 6. The violent man, Psalm 140, verse 1. The king of Babylon, Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 2. The son of the morning, Isaiah 14 and 12. The spoiler, Isaiah 16, verses 4 and 5. And Jeremiah 6, verse 26. The nail, Isaiah 22, verse 25. The branch of the terrible ones, Isaiah 25, verse 5. The profane, wicked prince of Israel, Ezekiel 21, verses 25 to 27. The little horn, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. The prince that shall come, Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. The vile person, Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. The willful king, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. The idle shepherd, Zechariah chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. The man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The lawless one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The Antichrist, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. The angel of the bottomless pit, Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. The beast, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7. And chapter 13, verse 1. And could be added to with these, the one coming in his own name, John chapter 5, verse 43. The king of fierce countenance, Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. The abomination of desolation, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. The desolator, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And on it goes. There is someone who will stand on this earth and be worshiped as God. That is going to happen. As clearly as John 3:16 is the truth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Just as true, the Antichrist is going to make his appearance on this earth. The question is he already among us? I'd like you to write these things down to try to remember so you could pass it along to others. His presence will be preceded by his Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of the Antichrist will precede the person of the Antichrist. Let's look again at what I read you a moment ago. In 1 John, the Word of God says in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, even every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." Notice the word used here, the spirit of Antichrist. I said the spirit of Antichrist will be preceding the person of the Antichrist. The person of the Antichrist will be preceded by the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist will be in the world, large and promoted, populating through the minds of people before the Antichrist makes his appearance. The spirit of Antichrist will be in the hearts and minds of millions of people. Their behavior will reflect this anti-God or instead of God, anti-Christ or instead of Christ attitude before the person of the Antichrist makes his appearance. And so it's not just some happenstance thing that we're going through. It's not the implosion of universities and colleges in their philosophical stance being not true that we're witnessing. I believe it is the spirit of Antichrist that's propagating, preparing the stage for the person of the Antichrist to come and make his appearance known. And so the Word of God goes on. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." It's already in the world. And of course, the intensity of that will build the closer we get to the coming of the Antichrist or the appearance of the Antichrist. The Antichrist may have already come, but the appearance of the Antichrist. Now, as I say again, and I say it with some caution, because there are many Bible believers who disagree with me. But it's my conviction that the Antichrist will not appear until the church is removed in the rapture. And the church will not go through the rapture. Now, there will be people left here to face the most horrible circumstances that have ever been known to man. You may have family members and dear friends and work associates who will be left here to face the Antichrist, the devil, the false prophet, and all their work leading the world. But his spirit is preparing the way for his person. If sometimes you want to throw up your hands and say, "I just can't understand how people can believe what they believe or what they can say. I can't believe they can talk this way and be so sincere in their speech, thinking this is the right way when it's exactly the wrong way." Well, God says the day will come when they'll call darkness light and light darkness. They'll call day night and night day. They'll call right wrong and wrong right. And that's exactly what we're seeing. It's not everywhere, but it's piercing through the places that we have trusted and held on to as institutionalized through the history of our country and around the world. And things are changing, and they're changing fast. Is the Antichrist already among us? Second thing I want to say is that his power will be beyond human belief. His power. I want you to turn with me to the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you would please. To the revelation of Jesus Christ, the 13th chapter. Allow me just to read a bit of this and you follow along. What is he going to do? How far will this go? When he's here and we're gone. And by the way, you may take a great deal of pleasure in the fact that we're gone. Hallelujah. We're gone. But what about all those we love who are left? You say you love them. I say I love them. We say we care about people. And you say you care about people. There's only one hope for those people. It's the same hope we found in the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood. But his power is going to amaze. His presence will be preceded by his spirit. We already know that. He'll be empowered by the devil. It's always been the devil's intent to overthrow God. That's what his rebellion was about. And now to rule the world. To finally rule the world. And to let the world reap what they've always sown. Rebellion against God. And the fruit of it. So when you're reading the unveiling of the Lord and you come to the 13th chapter, the Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." All that he is against God. The name blasphemy. "And the beast," that's just the Antichrist, "which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," that's the devil, "gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." Verse 4. "And they worshiped the dragon." That's what Satan has always wanted. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." And they worshiped the beast. How powerful is this person who steps on a stage prepared? How powerful will this person be? You say, this sounds like something you'd read in a comic book. This is like something you might find in some science fiction film. But the only thing is, this is not a comic book. This is not a scientific fictional film. This is the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says it's truly going to happen. And he goes on to say, verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon, and they worshiped, and gave which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God. I'm going to pause to say, my name is written there. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now God tells us, remember that the last 3.5 years of this tribulation, things change. He comes in like a lamb. He comes in as a savior. He comes in with kindness. He comes in to provide all the answers that the world needs. But no monster, no Stalin, no Hitler, no monster has ever lived like this monster. No killer has ever lived like this killer. 1/3 of the earth's population is going to be put to death. Think of it. Nothing as horrific and terrible and horrible has ever taken place on the face of God's earth like what's going to take place under the power of the Antichrist, empowered by the devil. There's a third thing we must deal with, and that is problems will be solved like never before when he first makes his appearance. I want you to turn back with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians. We'll begin in just a moment in 2 Thessalonians. And so we know that we have problems abounding at this moment, which is but a passing thing. Our United States government is in some way disabled, willingly disabled, because one side's trying to get their way against another side. And you have every privilege to take whichever side you wish. I have the same. And so if you hear me talk about my side in that, it is a secondary thing to me. The gospel is always the primary thing. Amen. Then don't be offended because I give you the privilege to take your side too. Most everybody knows where I stand on these things. If they don't, they've been living somewhere else with their head in the sand. But I'm talking about another matter. I'm talking about someone who makes himself known and has the power to solve the world's problems. This person, this Antichrist, will have the power to solve the world's problems. And for that reason, the world will follow him. That's why I say to you, it is so vital to those of us who say we're Christians, not only to say, I know the Lord is my Savior, but to live guided by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, to have the discernment that we need to see things as they truly are, not as they pretend to be. Let me read a little of this chapter in 2 Thessalonians. The Word of God says, if we begin with verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's another name for the Antichrist. The son of perdition, another name for the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Most Bible teachers believe we're talking about the restraining work of the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but the restraining work of the Holy Spirit. The person, He. And God is restraining evil today. The most largest group of ingrates that ever lived are the people who raise their voice against God, but they don't realize or stop to praise Him for the fact that they're breathing His air, bathing in His sunshine. By His mighty power in His Spirit, He holds back a flood tide of iniquity and evil that would wash through like a flood. No doubt about it. And when God lifts that restraining work and the flood tide of evil and evil men and the devil and the Antichrist are able to have their complete way, when God removes that restraint, what an evil hour. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Verse 7, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That's the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now we know, we can interject here other passages of Scripture. We know when it looks like the whole world is lost under the devil's power and the battles are being waged in the Armageddon and they're gathered, all nations of the world, to overcome all that's good and godly. It looks like there's absolutely no way anyone could win but Satan. Then the Bible says King Jesus appears, coming in power and glory, and he'll defeat all the foes just with the word of his mouth. Thank God for that. That's between this verse and the next. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Have you received the love of the truth? Have you received the love of the truth? Have you received the Lord Jesus? But listen just for a moment. This Antichrist is going to solve all the problems of the world, the political problems. He will solve all the political problems by moving from any type of democracy or even the representative form of government we have in our representative democracy to a dictatorship. He'll solve all the problems internationally because there won't be individual nations. All boundaries for nations removed. And there will be a one world government. He'll solve all the financial problems of the world. A one world currency. And by the way, I already have it in my pocket. Anywhere in the world I can use a certain credit card and you can move one you're carrying in your billfold. Anywhere in the world. We've already come that far. And there are other extensions to be made on that. He'll solve not only all the financial problems, all the industrial problems. You ever think about how important it is to have private businesses and have the type of work situation we have? All of that privatization is gone. It's all owned and operated under the control of the one world government. He'll solve all of the religious problems because there'll be a one world church. And it'll appear that this is the problem solver that the world's been waiting for. No longer arguments among nations, worldwide, peace, no uproar, no longer any of the things that people are arguing and fussing about internationally, financially, religiously. No longer. He's solving all the problems. And by the way, don't you sense much of what's being propagated now? That we need to move to, that we'd be better off with. We have people elected to our United States Congress and some elected to our United States Senate who actually believe that the form of government in other parts of the world will be better than the form of government we have here. They already believe it and promoting it. And if you think for a moment they're isolated and cases obsolete, removed from everything else, I want you to just imagine for a moment. There are collegiate and university institutions, thousands of them, all across our land, who are propagating the generation to follow that. Wake up. Our world and our nation is being prepared for the Antichrist. And so that's why I ask, is he already among us? Is he? Where is he? Who is he? Is he among us? If he's not yet among us, surely the intensity of his spirit and what he desires to do worldwide is already among us. And I bring you back to where I began. This ought to motivate us with urgency. What you ever plan to do for God, you say, one of these days I'm going to give. One of these days will not come to you. Your days will pass, or the world will change so quickly, or you'll be gone when Christ comes for his own. And the opportunity you could have taken to have done something, will be long past. Urgency. One of these days I'm going to do something in my home. One of these days I'm going to do something in my children. No. A sense of urgency. And then when you're figuratively pulling your hair out and the news is driving you crazy, so much so that you have to turn off the media for periods of time just to grasp again your sanity. Remember, it's not just little bees buzzing and ants crawling and working around. The spirit of Antichrist is moving, accomplishing, setting up things, working on the minds of the young and the eager. In most of our colleges, universities, and some even way down into the grade schools, preparing them for this new world order under the Antichrist. Christian, it's time to wake up and to get up. Let's pray together.